Are you an ambassador or apathetic? Turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to be reading verses 18 through 20. Are you an ambassador or apathetic? 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. All week long, so far, the week's not over, but so far, I have been meditating upon Pastor Andrew's message from this past Sunday morning. I listened to it again, which I highly recommend you listen to it again. And I've been rejoicing. Based on that message, I've been rejoicing in our position, our standing, if you will, in the heavenlies. We learned that we are adopted into God's family, and therefore we are placed as adult sons. Now, don't get offended, ladies, but the placing of an adult son in the Bible is very different than a child, okay? And it's not an offense to you, just like it's not an offense for a man to be part of the bride of Christ. But there's teaching behind the placing of an adult son and being the heir, the firstborn son. We don't have time to get into that tonight. But we're adopted into God's family. We're placed as adult sons. We are therefore children of God, children of the King. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ, and we are partakers of the divine nature because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And these are some of the great blessings we have because of our privileged position or standing. You know, there's so much talk about privilege today, isn't there? Well, let me tell you something. It is a great privilege, and we have great privilege if we're children of God. And don't ever be ashamed of that. But tonight, I want to look more at our state. That is our standing. That is our position in the heavenlies. That is the same for all of us. There's none of us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, positionally, there's none greater than the other. Just think about this. The Apostle Paul and me, we have the same standing. Isn't that amazing? But tonight, I want to look more at our state or our practical sanctification, and in particular, our being ambassadors for Christ. So the passage tells us that we have been reconciled or we have been restored to God by Christ. And we now have this wonderful standing and position. And we've been made citizens of heaven. We've been made citizens of God's kingdom. And based upon this truth, we now have the authority to act as His ambassadors or His representatives to this world. And we should always, as the text tells us, we should always be seeking to bring others to be reconciled to God. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So think about the word ambassador for a minute and everything that goes with that word. And one of the things when you think of an ambassador is you think of an embassy. Okay? Have any of you ever been in a foreign country and needed to go to the embassy, okay? All right? So the embassy is in a foreign country. So let's tonight for a moment think of the church like an embassy in a foreign country. The embassy is the official residence and offices of the ambassador. And the embassy is also placed there in that country to assist citizens while they're in a foreign country. I lost my passport. Where do you go? Embassy. Okay? Whatever reason, you need to seek asylum. Where do you go? The embassy. The embassy is also there to help people of the country that the embassy is in to find out about citizenship in America, if it's an American embassy. But of course, we're talking about heaven. So we, as Christ's ambassadors, are sent into this world, which is not our home, to seek to reconcile people to God. And the church is like our embassy, where we gather as citizens of heaven on foreign soil, and we celebrate, and we feel safe, and it's a haven for us in a foreign land. So I want to ask a question at the start of this message. Based on our privileged position that we learned about Sunday, are you an ambassador or are you apathetic? Are you an ambassador, a representative of the Father in a foreign land, or do you, or are you apathetic, or you have no feeling, no interest, no concern, no enthusiasm. You're just apathetic. I'm very concerned here with what's been going on lately. I'm very concerned because of a lack that I have been noticing lately on Wednesday nights in our gospel encounters. And I think, friends, over the winter time, we lost a little bit of our zeal. And we need to seek to gain that zeal back. So, one way to do that is to develop a passion for souls. Do you have a passion for souls? And how do we develop a passion for souls? Well, first point, if you're following along in your outline there, it begins with obedience to the Lord's word. It begins with obedience to the Lord's word. John 14:15 says, very simply, if you love me, what is it? What's the rest of the verse say? Anybody know? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And one of the things that we are commanded to do is to go out and preach the gospel. We have what's at the end of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and at the beginning of Acts. We have what's called the Great Commission. And I'm saddened, and I think that the Great Commission nowadays has become the Great Omission. And not many people are sharing the gospel anymore. Matthew 28, verse 18, very, very, very familiar words. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So who does this power belong to? Jesus, okay? And all that power is given to him as his ambassadors. We now have that. But what I want to stress on this is his authority to give this command. And what does he say? What's the first word of verse 19? Go. Go. Go ye. Go ye into, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, of course, we have the command to go, the Great Commission to go and to make disciples and to baptize those disciples and to teach those disciples and to continue to do that. And that since the Lord has left the earth and since Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came, that has been the business of the church. And that's how you and I got saved, through the gospel. Somebody went. The end of Mark, we see the same thing. Mark 16, 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody we need to preach the gospel to. Luke 24, verse 46, the Bible says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved, or it was necessary for Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And of course, just before the Lord leaves earth and ascends back into heaven, he tells the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So friends, as we seek to develop a passion for souls, it begins with obedience to the Lord's Word. And He told us, you know, you think about last words of people. You know, they're kind of important. If you know you're not going to see anybody ever again, you would hang on to those last words, right? And just before Jesus leaves the earth to go back to heaven, yes, he had much more to say, but you know, his last physical words to them were, it was the Great Commission. Go. Tell everybody what I told you. Go tell them. Make disciples. So that's important. All of us are competent to witness. A lot of people think that they're not. Oh, this is for the professional. That's for you, Pastor. That's for the missionaries. After all, that's why we pay missionaries, so they can go out, you know? But if we left it only up to the quote-unquote professionals, not much would get done. I love what Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And if you read in the context in Acts chapter, in that same chapter, in verse 1, the apostles stayed behind. So it was the rest of the church that was scattered. And as they went, they preached the gospel. So we're all competent. Everybody has, if you're saved, you have a testimony. Tell them what the Lord did for you. Back it up with Scripture. And tell what the Lord did for you. That's all it is. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to get a motorhome and tour the country and, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out of churches. You know, you can just tell your friends and your neighbors and your family. But not everybody comprehends this responsibility. You know, in Acts chapter 5, when the disciples were told that they could no longer witness, in verse 28 and 29, it says that they say, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We have to obey God. And God has commanded us to go. And if we're not going and we're not telling and we're not speaking, we're not obedient to God. What God commands us to do, He gives us the power to do and the authority to do. Remember, we're His ambassadors. We ought to obey God rather than men. So developing a passion for soul, number one, begins with obedience to the Lord's Word, but it also begins with obedience to the Lord's work. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, Paul tells us to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So think about this. A lot of times we tend to be selfish, don't we? And the world revolves around me. We get comfortable, and apathy begins to set in, and we don't want to go. After all, Pastor, it is winter. It is cold. It is dark. I take my car out, and I get salt all over it. I don't want it to rust. The frost heaves, knock my teeth out. You know, we have all kinds of excuses for not going. They're selfish. But are you selfless? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Of course, it goes into that wonderful passage, the kenosis passage, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So think about the Lord Jesus and think about his selflessness and his leaving the glory of heaven to come to earth to purchase our salvation. And so are we being selfless or selfish? You know, it's about others, folks. It's about telling others the gospel. Are you a servant? Mark 10, are you being a servant? Yes, we're sons. That is our position. But, you know, it's interesting. The Bible also calls us slaves and servants to the Lord. And even though our position is that of a son, you know, in our ministry, we're slaves to our master. And Mark chapter 10 in verse 44 and 45, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Think about the Lord Jesus. If anybody could have came to earth and said, serve me, and it would have been entirely in his right to do so, it would have been him. But he didn't do that. He came to be a servant. He even demonstrated that by washing the disciples' feet. And ultimately, he demonstrated that by giving his life a ransom for all that would believe. Are we being a servant, or do we like to be served? Are you a second mile person? Look at Matthew 5. What do we mean by that? Are you in it for the long haul? Matthew 5, 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I have a note written in the margin of my Bible here. I don't know who said this, but it says, the world sees us on the first mile, but they see Christ on the second mile. You know, going above and beyond what we're called to do. And that's what we need to do. That second mile, go that second mile. It's tough, you know. Are we in it for the long haul? We're tired. We get tired at the end of the day. We're tired. Sometimes it might require that second mile, going that second mile with somebody, maybe even a third mile. And all this leads to being a sweet savor. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Are we a sweet savor? Just think about that. Think about the beautiful aroma of a life given in service, selfless service to the Father. God says we're to be a living what? Sacrifice. You imagine what it must have smelt like at the temple when all those lambs were being sacrificed? You know, meat smells good cooking on a grill, doesn't it? I'm not being, you know, sarcastic here, but just think of that aroma going up to heaven. You know, doesn't it smell good when somebody's barbecuing? And think about a life given in sacrifice, a living sacrifice, and that sweet savor, that aroma that's pleasing to God. That's what we should be. So, developing a passion for souls begins with obedience to the Lord's word and obedience to the Lord's work. But what is the result when we develop a passion for souls? What happens when we develop a passion for souls? Well, turn to Acts chapter 16, and we have a wonderful example in this chapter. That won't work. That's Romans. Acts 16. We see first off the salvation of sinners. Acts 16, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of part of Macedonia, in a colony. And we were in the city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And so what happens? We see here when we develop a passion for souls and we're obedient to the Lord's word, and we're obedient in the Lord's work, what happens? We see the salvation of sinners. It's going to happen. When you're obedient and you do what the Lord commands you to do, people will get saved. He promises. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We get an amen for that. People get saved. And what happens after people get saved? Look at verse 15, the first part of the verse. And when she was baptized and her household, to show the proof that someone is saved and that first step of obedience is believer's baptism. And people are baptized and they make their public profession of Christ. The third thing that happens is there's an evident of spiritual fruit in their life. The latter part of verse 15. She besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So she cared for God's servants. She cared for the missionaries. Now we know what happened in the rest of the chapter, but the result of developing a passion for souls is the salvation of sinners, the baptism of believers, the evidence of spiritual fruit and membership in a church. Look at verse 40. And they went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Of course, in between there, you know, this is the obedience to the Macedonian call. This is the gospel coming to Europe. And this is the first little church right there in Lydia's house, made up of Lydia and the women that were by the river, made up of the Philippian jailer and his family. Later, Paul writes a wonderful book to that church. You know, I often say, friends, that if we're not, God called us to be fishers of men, right? And if we're not fishing, we're never going to catch anything. If you don't fish, people won't get saved. But if you do cast a line, if you do cast a net, sometimes you catch a fish. How many of you have gone fishing, and every time you've gone fishing, you've caught a fish? Anybody? You have? Okay, I'm going fishing with you. Okay? But it doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes you don't catch anything. I used to have a bumper sticker on my truck that said, a bad day of fishing is still better than a good day at work. So, but that doesn't count here. But, you know, we have to cast the net. We have to cast the line. Because if you don't fish, you don't catch. And do you realize, friends, at what we learned on Sunday morning, do you realize your privileged position in Christ? We have authority now. Do you realize that with this authority comes the responsibility to be ambassadors? We represent God here on earth. We are His ambassadors. Just as our country sends ambassadors around the world to live in embassies and to represent the interest of America in foreign countries, we are here on a mission, with a mission, with authority from our Father in heaven. Because our citizenship is where, the Bible says, heaven. Okay? If you're here tonight and you're a believer, you're first a citizen of heaven. Second, you're a citizen of America. Heavenly citizenship trumps American citizenship. Do you realize your responsibility as an ambassador of God, or are you apathetic to your responsibility? That's nice. Let somebody else do it. What would happen to our ambassadors that we sent out, you know, to other countries that weren't interested? They'd be called back. Are you an ambassador or apathetic? Look at Romans 10 in closing. Romans 10. Romans 10, starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." According to that verse, who can be saved? Whosoever. Okay? "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Work backwards. We're sent with a commission, right? We're sent. "Go ye into all the world." So we're to go, and we're to preach so the people can hear, so the people can listen, so the people can believe. God has given us this ministry of reconciliation, and we need to be about His business. And can I say, friends, that just like we see our world in trouble and in dire need, and I believe it's because time is running out. I don't think we're in the 11th hour anymore. I think we're in the last minutes of the 11th hour. And I believe the Lord is coming soon. So we need to be busy. There's an urgency. There's an urgency that we must understand. And we must be telling everybody. And I hope and pray that you know, we catch this vision. We develop this passion for souls. And with this passion, because we love the Lord and we want to be obedient to Him and be obedient in his work. We want to work for him because we realize our privileged position. And I would love to come on a Wednesday night and just listen all night to gospel encounters. Because if we're not fishing, if we're not sharing the gospel, people aren't going to get saved. We must open our mouths. Father, help us to understand the urgency of the hour. Help us to understand the great need of the day. Help us to understand that we are your ambassadors, sent, Lord, with your authority, commanded to go and preach the message of the gospel, which brings reconciliation between lost sinners and our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, burden our hearts, burden our souls, fill us with a zeal for Thee, and open our mouths, open our hands, open our hearts. Lord, help our feet to be swift to spread your word, and we'll be sure to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.